jumping in on Manx Radio
with Howard and Chris Kane.
Hello.
Good evening.
And welcome. And here we go yet again. Can you believe it? We are back on a Friday night, alternating as we do with our sister programme, Sweet and Swing. But tonight it is jumping in the best in modern and contemporary jazz with myself, H.
And me, Chris. And yes, can you believe it? We're halfway through August, which means that the big C is nearer than it, nearer ahead than it was
Christmas.
Behind. It is. Pardon?
Soon be Christmas.
Shh. You're not allowed to mention that word yet, remember? But yes, here we are, halfway through the school holidays, so you've still got to put with the kids for another 3 weeks yet or so, thereabouts. Never mind. Anyway, H, what has been getting into your bag this week? What's been your bag and what's been on the road watching the other bikes?
A fantastic new release from the ever-productive Miguel Zenon. His first, after 18 albums, his first live release, would you believe? And it's a cracker, Vanguardia Subterranea, recorded, as you might have guessed, at the Village Vanguard in New York. Just been there. Sadly, Miguel wasn't playing there at the time. It also reminded me of someone who was playing there the week before, and I thought, oh gosh, I've always enjoyed the music of Billy Hart. So, yeah, a bit of Billy Hart Quartet. And we'll be paying tribute, of course, to Oscar Peterson.
The great Oscar Peterson, who has just today, in fact, celebrated 100 years. Were he still with us, it's his birthday. So, yeah, absolutely worth it. And you may notice, if you're out and about, plenty of Oscar Peterson tributes are popping up left, right and centre. From me, well, we're working round the clock. We're in a place. And we're also in a Leyland, but not in a metro. And to kick things off, well, here is the Joe Clark Big Band with Highway. Thank you. Very nice indeed. The Joe Clark Big Band there with Highway, the opener from their recent release, Black and Cardinal. In 1969, Joe says, Fred Hampton, the 21-year-old chairman of the Illinois Black Panther Party, gave a speech called It's a Class Struggle, goddammit. Less than a month later, he was murdered by Chicago police. Reading that speech nearly 50 years later, I was inspired by Hampton's clarity and passion, describing a relationship of race, class and revolutionary struggle. I was also surprised to hear that the speech was delivered in DeKalb, Illinois. By chance, I had just visited DeKalb to produce a recording session. The town had already surprised me. While wandering on a break, I found myself in the room where jazz legend Duke Ellington gave his last concert. The coincidence of two great thinkers and leaders passing through the same town days before their deaths struck me as meaningful. And anyway, he goes on to say years later, his new orchestra was put together, so Black and Cardinal is a triptych, he says. First two wings setting up the scene of the travel against strength, the city of barbed wire, and race, class, and nations. But very nice. Highway, the first movement. Great big band. I don't know any of the other players. It's a large band. It's a 20-piece band. Black and Cardinal, released now.
Terrific stuff. Great way to get going. And yeah, always love that big band sound. Miguel Zenon, I think he's done some larger scale stuff. Mostly he works in the smaller scale groups by and large. 18 albums to his name as a leader. But he's never done a live one before now. And coming out next month is Vanguardia Subterranea. Recorded, of course, as you might have guessed, at New York's legendary Village Vanguard Club. Miguel Zenon himself, an incredible character. We're hoping to set up a chat with him. MacArthur Laureate, Guggenheim Fellow, Doris Duke Artist, 2024 Grammy Award winner for an album we do feature on the programme, El Arte de Bolero, Volume 2. And now, like I said, bringing out his first live album with his long-standing quartet featuring pianist Louis Podermo, the bassist Hans Glashnik, and drummer Henry Cole. Let's hear Abro Kut Guiro Mambo. Thank you. Terrific stuff as you gathered live at the Village Vanguard for the first time ever, Miguel Zenon. He's obviously played loads of live gigs, but it's the first time that he's actually recorded for an album a live concert. He says it's an album that has a really different energy to our other records because it was recorded in this sanctuary of music, as he calls it, the beloved Village Vanguard's dim red subterranean room on the 7th Avenue South, opened in 1935 and has had a full-time jazz policy since 1957, which is very true. The oldest continuous jazz club in New York, they boast. And it is literally that. It is subterranean, down a flight of stairs, no frills, a very smallish basement packed in with just straight wooden chairs and a tiny stage at the far end with this sort of red background. Very, very iconic. But it's he says it's the dream of every jazz musician to play in that legendary room. The quartet has played week-long residencies there five times, but if they have been recorded, they've never been released. They will be back if you happen to be in the Big Apple. So to celebrate the release of Vanguardia Subterranea from September the 16th to the 21st of this year. So get yourselves down there if you can. If you can't make it there, well, the album is out on your birthday, as it turns out, the 29th of August. Woo-hoo. Via Miel Music. And I'll have another go at the title there, because the album that's the opener on the album, Abricuto Guirimambo. If you speak Spanish, apologise. At least I apologise. A phrase that in Bozal or first generation African Spanish means open up your ear and hear the mambo.
Hear the mambo, we did indeed. Now, for me, an album which I really enjoyed at the time, and it was a label which started in the 80s and disappeared in mid-90s, I think, called MMC, British label. They were trying to sort of get together up-and-coming or new artists and give them on the heavy-duty vinyl, really nice quality releases, but they disappeared. I don't know whether it was lack of support or licensing problems or what it was, but they had about a dozen or so releases, a couple of very fine ones. Sunwind, who we featured on the album on the show, The Sun Below, their album was on this label, as was this one, Aspects of Paragon. And from it, we're going to hear the second track. Thank you. there it stops and segues into the next track. A great album. I loved this when it came out. Did you ever have a copy of this?
You know what? The name is ringing bells, absolutely. That track rings bells, absolutely. I do remember it. I remember that track. I hadn't heard it in years, and I can't for the life of me think of whether I would have it on vinyl or CD or maybe just on a cassette.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they even did it on CD, but have a punt at the lineup then if you can pick anybody out of that lot.
Yeah, I couldn't. Yeah, I was listening and thinking, I do remember it, and I just sort of. No, they all sort of sound vaguely familiar. Maybe like someone like Tim Garland or someone, but I just couldn't really.
Well, you might be a bit surprised. Yeah. So, keyboardist and arranger Tony Hymas on electric keyboards, Stan Sulzman on sax.
Stan, isn't it? Okay, yeah.
John Taylor on acoustic piano. Frank Ricotti
on vibes
and percussion, and Chris Lawrence. I mean, great lineup. Really interesting album, actually, and pretty much different from anything that I heard John Taylor do anywhere else. But I've had the album for years on vinyl, hadn't played it for a long time, and I saw it pop up on YouTube, of all things, and was able to make a digital copy of it to bring it back to you. But great. Love there was a CD. I would buy it. But it is worth a listen. Aspects of Paragon.
Frank Ricotti, yeah, he used to be around. I don't know whether he's still playing or not these days. I've lost contact altogether with Frank's thereabouts. Stan, obviously, still playing. And we had a chat with him not that long ago. When I say that, it'd be a few years now. But, I mean, he was still playing playing well and still playing with some big bands. And we did a piece with him for Jumping In 3-4 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, about
something
4 years
like that.
Ago.
Yeah.
I mean, and speaking of John Taylor, funnily enough,
John Taylor sadly died far too young. But
he did, but there's a new album just released, previously unreleased. And we bring something from that on the next show.
Terrific. Well, another gentleman who is a pretty good age these days, but still playing at the top of his game, I think, is Billy Hart. He's certainly been around for, well, exactly from the time you're talking about, from the 60s probably onwards. And remember, again, going back to the time you've just been talking about there with MMC or whatever, Oshumer used to be an album we were both very fond of and frequently used to have that one on in the car. And he's still playing with his quartet and in other setups as well. I see he was with Kevin Hayes, who I saw at the Village Vanguard recently. There's a trio with him on the Smoke Sessions, which sounds really good. I had that on the car of late. But I thought we'd have a bit of Billy Hart. He was playing at the Village Vanguard the week before I was there. Typical. I'd love to have seen that live at the Village Vanguard, but not to be. There we go. Such is life. But I still had a nice night there in any case. But it made me think, let's have a little bit of Billy. Why not? And I'm going back to the one on high note, just called the Billy Hart Quartet with Mark Turner on tenor sax, Ethan Iverson, ex of the Bad Plus, of course, piano, Ben Street bass, Billy himself, of course, at the drums. And this is called Iverson's Odyssey.
Thank you.
Great ending, love it, just on the bass drum of Billy Hart. The Billy Hart Quartet, Billy on drums, of course, Mark Turner saxes, Ethan Iverson piano, Ben Street at the bass, and they are still going strong. And in fact, just released one quite recently on ECM, which I can highly recommend. This one is on going back to his High Note days, going back almost exactly just under 20 years. 2006 was that one, and cracking stuff as well, really good. I'd love to see him live again. Last time we saw him with the quartet, we think, was in Belgium, I think it would be, in bizarrely that sort of club, which was all a stand-up club for dancing, and it was a, you know, clearly a set which wasn't dance music, so it was a strange place to see him, but the music was just as good in any case.
It was fantastic, but we were absolutely rammed, weren't we? You couldn't turn around, it was that kind of crowd. And maybe we're getting old, but we occasionally like to sit down at gigs these days. It's just the way it's going.
Well, it helps, doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, next now, an album which was very important, I think, to both of us as children, because Dad played it quite a lot. It certainly hooked me on this man who would be celebrating his 100th birthday today, Oscar Peterson. The great Oscar Peterson, who went through very, very... he started playing in the 50s. I mean, Oscar, as I say, would be a century, so it's 1925 he was born. Recording from the 50s, this album was quite a little bit later on, 1964, but actually, to many people, is one of the albums they first remember, because it was an original suite of music written for his home country of Canada, the Canadian Honor Suite, Ray Brown at the bass, Ed Thigpen at the drums, Oscar at the piano, and this piece was the first one that I tried to learn, Place St. Henry. Thank you. Note to self, if you're going to try and learn a pianist track, perhaps start with a ballad and work up. But yeah, fantastic. Placent Henry from the Canadiana Suite. Now, Peterson had been recording since 1950, and his contract with Verve ran out in 1964. He then signed with Limelight, which was a new subsidiary of Mercury Records, which proved not to actually get promotion or something, and very little promotion, but and some of his other Limelight albums actually sank without trace, largely. But the Canadiana Suite is well remembered by everybody who knows the man, and I was looking for it on CD for years, ended up buying a Japanese import. But with his 100th birthday, I think you might be lucky and find it has been re-released. The great thing about the man, larger than life and a large man, and in fact, he became so successful, he had his own television series that ran successfully for several months, including he would always have a guest who was also a pianist, and they played duets. I remember seeing Andre Previn and Keith Emerson, for example, to give you the breadth of what was on. But yeah, he just appeared to be so relaxed during those incredible runs.
Amazing stuff. I'm going to have my own little tribute as well. I'll give you two back-to-backs, a slow ear and then a fast one as well, from the wonderful Tracks album. How about A Child Is Born? And then we'll get a little bit of Satisfaction.
Thank you.
And there they go, sailing off into the distance, or at least playing off into the distance. Yeah, a great little tribute there to Oscar Peterson, who would have been 100 years old. Reunion Blues was the second album there, the Oscar Trio, with, of course, Milt Jackson on the vibes and their take on Satisfaction, the Rolling Stone number you might recognise. The MPS studio albums considered among the pianist's very best. People revelled in the sheer magnificence of the piano sound that Hans-Georg Brunner-Schwer attained, Oscar said, which is very true, and we caught that as well, beautifully mic'd on his other album. We heard the first of those two ones from the Trax album on Verve, I think originally out on MPS, if memory serves correct, and I was going to play a little jazz exercise or Give Me the Simple Life. The whole album's brilliant, though. I thought he plays ballads so beautifully as well. We ought to balance things out there with A Child Is Born. Gorgeous stuff.
Funny on that, because we both absolutely love it. but it didn't get the highest reviews tracks, but I think it's a great album. Certainly one to look at if you like solo piano, because you can hear the piano breathe.
You hear the piano breathe, you hear him breathe, the chords, it's just fantastic.
Incredible, yeah. Well, to finish with, something incredible and incredibly different from a record label I've never heard of and a band I've never heard of. But it's their third album. I'm now looking backwards to hear the other two. The record label is April Records. And the band is a band called Andorra from Denmark. Now, it says, do they fit in with the traditional Nordic jazz tradition? Certain writers have said not, but I actually think if you look at the breadth and include some of people like Palle Danielsson or if you listen to Odderang, for example, they reminded me a bit of Odderang. The instrumentation is different. Peter Kelmetz-Muller on Fender Rhodes and keyboards and electronics. Mads Lecour, flugelhorn and trumpets. Simon Krebs, guitars and lap steel. Nikolai Bundvig on drums and Morten Jorgensen on the bass. From Andorra, we'll leave you until next week with Lyleland.
Gorgeous stuff. See you in a couple of weeks.
Bye for now.